featuring James Baldwin,
Adelaide Hawkins,
and Rob James.
Yes, it's the best daily rally podcast in the world, and it's a pleasure to be with you here yet again for another day talking about one of the best things in the entire world, motorsport, and specifically the WRC. And here we are, we find ourselves in the middle of greatness, in the middle of Kenya and Croatia, and an agreement that's not an agreement that people have issues with, but of course we can't know about it because it's held behind closed doors. But this podcast is held with open doors, and that's because I'm joined by my friends and yours to review Rally Kenya and preview Croatia. Adelaide Hawkins, hello to you.
Hello, I am back again.
The AI voice may not have said your name yet, but I'm sure we can update that.
And I'm definitely not in the description of Spotify at all, but I am here.
Yes, we'll update that immediately. And of course, it is my friend yours, Rob James. Hello, mate.
Oh, sorry, just got to get all this fesh off me, this bloody... Oh, I've got fesh in my shoes. It's in the pockets of my pants. Oh, it's in my eyeball. Oh, I've got fesh coming out of my eyes. And oh, hang on, let me just pick my nose. Oh, some more fesh coming along. I've never heard people use the word fesh in. It's almost like it's more like a flex using the word fesh, if I'm honest.
Lots to talk about out of Kenya. Lots to talk about ahead of Croatia. And of course, we remember the very, very brilliant Craig Breen 1 year on from that incredibly tragic accident too. And we'll talk a little bit about the WRC Commission and why people don't like change. That's all to come in this episode of Listen to My Calls.
The fesh stock clearance sale starts today. Load up your snorkel and take home your very own Kenyan fesh. Pay less, pay cash. The fesh warehouse. I don't know the address.
Listen to my calls.
Well, let's talk about Kenya, shall we? Rob, to you first, because this is...
Turn that music off. Oh, my God. It's honestly the Kenyan Symphonia Orchestra with the six-piece recorder orchestra.
Orchestra, the very well-known Philharmonic Orchestra out of Bacchus Marsh.
Jeez, it was very funny, though. It was a hoot. When the commentators were having to put their microphones off because they were laughing that hard because of the vuvuzela, it was remarkable. I thought, geez, this is going to be a long weekend because I think it was SS3 or something. It was on and I'm like... And you feel for the people that it happens a lot in other sports as well, like cricket, for example, or the football, where they have what's called in the industry a effects microphone or an FX microphone. Mm. And so literally all it is, you get the atmosphere of the crowd and it helps you colour it in. So it's not just commentators in a soundproof room just calling a screen. So you get the atmosphere. And then every so often, you're just going to get...
I beg your pardon, and...
Rexy, those blokes got a lot of mates here.
Come out the back, you idiot! He's killing all these people with passive smoking! Smoking, you fat crap!
You get some nuffy next to the effects microphone. That was kind of the equivalent of what happened in Kenya, where, I don't know what instrument that was, but it was a heinous noise, but geez, it was funny.
I tweeted Bex... And I said, I can't believe she's laughing so hard because I am too. And she actually quote tweeted, I should have linked the podcast and said, hey, come have a look. But I failed. I'm sorry.
Well, do you know what else we failed? I know it's everyone's favorite daily rally podcast and I'm glad you're here. Glad you're listening to it. But lots has happened. Lots has happened here in Australia. Of course, we had the Australian Rally Championship here in Canberra. I say here because
I'm a Canberra milk kid.
That was bloody great. We've had the New Zealand Rally Championship in Otago.
For fuck's
sake. Bloody fantastic. Hayden Paddon wasn't there to win because he was there over in Europe with the ERC. But what is the most annoying noise you can hear on a broadcast? I'm interested in your thoughts. Go to the Discord. You can find Listen to My Calls Discord server in the link in the description. Show notes, search for it. I don't know. You'll figure it out. I'm sure it's on the website too. But what is it? Is it the Vuvuzela or is it like an air horn, Rob?
I'm sure many rally drivers can attest to the fact the most annoying noise in any form of sport in the world has to be the electrical interference in a Stilo intercom. My God, it is the worst Oh, it sucks.
And doesn't no matter if been... you're state level or if you're a WRC, that noise still happens.
Oh, it's brutal. I hate it so much. But it's no one's been able to crack the code yet. But whoever does, they're going to be very rich one day. And believe me, I'm working feverishly to find a cure. Others are doing more noble deeds to find cures for legitimate illnesses. I just want to figure out how the intercom doesn't make that noise.
Yeah, there's a lot of electrical interference in these cars. You know what would be a good way of removing some electrical interference? Deleting the hybrid power unit. All right, let's talk about the rally results, shall we? Can you tell which side of the argument I am on for this sport?
Oh, because hang on a sec. Do we want to revisit what our predictions were? Because I'm pretty sure, well, I know Adelaide, I think, said it was going to be a Toyota clean sweep on the podium.
I was so close.
I said Tacker for the win because I went full emotional because idiot over here is thinking a new chassis is going to fix my problems.
I think mine was Elfin would win, but by default because Kelly would slow down.
Yes.
But I think Kelly Rovanperä needed to slow down by 4 minutes and 20 seconds and as did Takamoto another minute behind that as well. So Kelly Rovanperä, what a, I only say a surprise victory because Kelly Rovanperä literally had nothing go wrong during the weekend in Kenya. He didn't get a single bump, single pothole. He drove perfectly all weekend. The Yaris didn't miss a beat either. It was just perfect. It was just frustratingly reliable because everyone else had issues either side of them, including the other, his Toyota teammates. But he managed to escape it and it was just so frustrating.
In terms of how this sits, I mean, fantastic weekend to be a Toyota.
Sometimes it may be good.
Terrible weekend to be Hyundai.
Sometimes it may be shit.
And can Adrian Formo just settle down? Because this guy has been honestly honest.
Chicken deck,
and
baby.
Genuinely keeping. I mean, there is a Constructors' Championship, of course, between all three of these teams and only two really are in contention. But Adrian Formo is carrying the physical weight, the entire Puma, two Pumas worth, Adelaide, of M Sport.
He is going to smash this year if the last two rounds are anything to shape. He is on fire.
Chicken deck, baby.
It has been cool to watch, and I think Rob can attest to the fact that it is very exciting. And
I'm big on Formo. I'm huge on Formo. I'm all in on Formo. I just... He is such a refreshing breath of, I'd say fresh air, but he's recycled air really because this is his second stint in the WRC really.
Yes.
But,
I was going to say fish air, but anyway.
Yeah, fish air, that's right. But he did exactly what he needed to do. Like you could argue that, yeah, he got lucky in Sweden, but he hung on onto the road and didn't miss a beat and managed to survive that rally. And then you'd be forgiven for thinking, oh, okay, if he just gets top five or something, that's a really good weekend out. But to get another podium, another third place finish, that's remarkable. I mean, M Sport, you know, they're not going to win the Constructors' Championship and they have no one else to fight up against. But in terms of just pride and that light at the end of the tunnel, because everyone's like, we've got to put in Sebastian Loeb if we ever want to win a rally, or you've got to get Sebastian Ogier or develop from within. Formo's got the potential. And then, sure enough, give it a few more years, and then Toyota will come knocking on his door and try to poach him away. But he's building his little nest at M Sport, and just even the shake and bake baby, the stuff like that. Like I just, instead of grumpy, car shit, no, don't talk to me.
Too slow.
He's got his little bucket hat on. He's doing Ricky Bobby references. Yeah. He's just having fun. And, if we talk about, we want to build personalities in the future of the sport, he's in the right place, right time at the moment. So I'm all in on Formo. He's easily my favorite WRC driver going on at the moment.
I agree. To be honest with you, I agree. I think especially the shake and bake, the bucket hat, as you mentioned, has been, it's just a breath of fresh air, not fresh air.
fresh air, yeah.
He truly has, he's what a sports person should be when he finishes a stage, He shouldn't.
Yep.
Yeah, obviously you have room to be critical on yourself, but even if he still brings the positivity. And that's what you should do. That's how you actually get better and build a personality. Because if other sports like Lewis Hamilton, have anything to talk about. You build a brand outside of F1, not to say he's very positive, but you build a brand outside of F1 and that's who you can be. And who knows, Adrian Formo could build a brand outside of WRC and become a household name. And that's where, that's how you do it. And he is doing
that. Colin McRae could do it. Can't wait to can't wait to buy a copy of Adrian Formo Rally one day.
Could you imagine?
Pre-sale.
But this is something the sport has needed for a long time. We have had dominant drivers who are very, very fantastic in the car and not taking anything away from it. But the sport needs to be entertaining too, and we need key figures that draw people in. Exactly what happened in like Drive to Survive with Gunther Steiner and Daniel Ricciardo. I mean, their stocks are so much higher in that sport because of the fan base swell behind them. And I'm here for the first bit of content I saw of Formo across the weekend. He said to the interviewer, "Have you seen Talladega Nights? I just watched it. You know, Shake and Bake, baby." And then for him to do that in pre-rally and then actually do it after a stage, it just is mega to me. And it's exactly what this sport needs, Rob.
I know, exactly right. So that's the positivity out of the way. Let's go back to real rally driving behavior and just get big negative, grumpy, glass half empty. Oh, car shit, Hyundai shit. Now, Hyundai were pretty quick and they were pretty speedy out in the lengths of the many Kenyan straights out there. So they were able to keep up with the Toyotas by and large, but the reliability, my God, did they suffer? I mean, it could have been a lot worse for Hyundai, but they managed to hang on. So for Thierry Neuville, I don't know what it is about him and fuel pumps. He keeps putting the cheap Shell Specsaver. No, the ethanol one. Not Specsavers. What's the Povo Shell?
Just but 91. Maybe you should. It is 91, which depends on your local Bowser of choice.
91's a very Australian thing.
So he keeps putting in 91 because he's a tight ass. Oit Tanak, his suspension let go. Esa Pekka Lappi had transmission issues. And then obviously Oit finding that big ass rock as well in the road too. And Oit's bonnet lifted up and his intercom failed. It was just heaps of little things like that.
Didn't he hit that huge rock, Neuville?
Sorry, it was Neuville. Yeah, I take that back. Yeah. So Neuville hit the big rock. And so Neuville ended up fifth. Now, actually, I think I had him in one prediction. I can't remember what version it was, but I thought he was in it for the win, and he ended up fifth, 10 minutes off the pace of Kalle Rovanperä, and then Oit Tanak, another 21 minutes behind in eighth, behind the two WRC winners in Gus Greensmith and Oliver Solberg. So Oit's had an absolute shocker. And it's funny because had he stayed at M-Sport, I don't think he would have done much better either, because I think Oit obviously is driving that little bit harder. So I think that's where he came a little bit unstuck with the Puma last year, where he just pushed it beyond its limits and its means, whereas Adrian Formo is just plodding along and just hoping for the best. So he's slow but steady, very much the tortoise in the hare race up the front with the Yaris's. So, Oit is not – he's – with every round, that championship, aspiration or prediction is starting to slip away, but the point score makes it certainly interesting, that's for sure.
He's 34 points off of the lead, but Adelaide – he's still fourth in the championship. He's still the second place Hyundai after all of these issues that he's had. And this was a very, very bad rally for Oit Tanak. And watching him cut that corner and finding that huge rock and all of the things that he's had with the bonnet lifting up, and it seems like it's against him. We've said a couple of times that there's a few people that really need to change their luck and turn it around, but I mean, how is he running fourth? Like, that still blows my mind. It shows that the issues that the others have had in individual rallies, for him to be somewhat consistent enough with Sunday running and these new point system to be able to claw some stuff back. I mean, it's not terribly bad considering where we are in the season. Maybe he still can turn it around.
Well, I just think it's amazing that Thierry is still on top of the standings at the moment.
And Thierry and Elfin, they're separated by 6 points, 67 to 61. Adrian Formo, he's third in the championship. He's 46th. Adrian Formo has world champions behind him. He has Oit, Kalle, and Kalle. Sebastian Ogier right behind him. So he's
chicken bake, baby.
For everyone that's shit canning on the point system, we've still got a tight battle up the front. Yes. And Thierry, and especially Elfyn. Elfyn's not had a standout season yet. We're three rounds in. It's still early days, but he's not had a really brilliant, outstanding rally. I think he's just been a little bit lucky that the likes of Oit Tanak haven't been able to catch up, and Taka Moto Katsuta hasn't had that breakthrough win. But that podium certainly helps go a long way for, I think, that win coming closer than maybe we all thought.
You've mentioned him, so let's be a little bit more positive now if we can, because Taka Moto Katsuta had a fantastic Rally Kenya. After leading Sweden and then binning it in a snowbank, which was heartbreaking to see, he did have a pretty good round, and I am all in on his success. Adelaide, we sort of said at the beginning of the year that in the Toyota fold, it was very much Elfyn's to win this year in terms of championship-wise. And when you've got a part-time championship contender in the former world champion in Kalle Rovanperä, it's going to be very difficult for you to maybe be consistent and push as hard as you can. But I think everyone was behind the positive results of Taka in Kenya.
I think he did a lot better than I thought he would do, to be honest with you. But I feel like that was because everyone else kind of had issues. I mean, he did too, didn't he? You know what? It tells you that I don't even remember.
but you got to take advantage of it, right? Everyone's exactly. going to have issues at some point. You got to be there still.
I think, I think it was very good. I almost got that Toyota 1-2-3 that I was hoping and changing my results for that. But yeah, I mean, it was good. I think he's very much on his way to improving even more, especially because Kenya's such a hard rally as well. Mm. To have that kind of result is really good. And it's just hopefully a shape for the future. I mean, I don't know how Croatia's going to go because it's very different, but I don't know. I think it's, as Rob will say, it's bum and seat time. And I think he's heading in the right direction. Absolutely.
Well, the thing I'm not looking forward to about Croatia is I'm lamenting the loss of the snorkel. I feel like they should have just kept it on for old time's sake. And I thought it was interesting that teams strategically took it on and off. Mechanically, they're very simple to run, but I think in terms of the shapes and the designs of the snorkels, especially the Toyota, they were starting to use it as a bit of a aerodynamic feature where they, you know, ran it across the door line and things like that. Whereas I think Hyundai had a more simpler solution. M Sports was quite advanced as well. They certainly weren't lacking in the R&D department in the snorkel. But someone that probably needed a snorkel, but maybe at the other end, was of course Gus Greensmith. We touched on him winning WRC2. He won WRC2 despite suffering diarrhea. There, I said it, allegedly. Because
stomach issues, Rob. Stomach issues.
Yeah. He was unwell for much of the early part of the rally, and he was as white as a ghost come the end of each stage, and to the point where he even pondered about, you know what, maybe this is not sensible for me to keep running. I know it's Kenya. I think it was even in the lead at that point of the rally, but he ploughed through, and he I bet you Gus Greensmith has never clenched his buttocks more than in all of his life than at Rally Kenya, because I'm glad it was worth it, because he ended up sixth outright, and he absolutely smashed Oliver Solberg. We talk about Formula One drivers getting their appendix out and getting good results. WRC drivers, they're so extreme, they're going to shit themselves for the rest of the season to try to get an advantage.
Sometimes maybe shit.
I can't imagine the smell that would have been in that car, just by the way.
No.
Not only the sweat, but the smell of almost shitting himself the entire time. It would have been a nightmare. I remember after every stage, especially on the, I can't remember, it was the first day or second day, he would do like that deep breath. I genuinely thought he was just trying not to throw up, which is terrible. I can't imagine. I don't even know how he did it. It's not possible. He should have just won. He should have just been awarded. You know what? You win the rally.
Here,
you win
the entire rally. Yeah, have the trophy.
Because I don't know how you did that. Was it safe? Was it smart? Probably not. But he did do well, so.
You mentioned Ollie Solberg, Rob, and here's a name that's popped up time and time again. It is that sort of motorsport family situation where he probably lives under the Solberg shadow of the name of the family, but he has been pretty good. It is interesting, though, to see even a very unwell Gus Greensmith getting on top, and I think that was very positive because we are looking at, in inverted commas, next generation, but we've seen Adrian Fulmore go back to Rally 2 to then come back to WRC in a much better frame of mind with much better experiences. But Rally 2, we almost had, not almost, it was close enough to us having Rally 2 on the podium. And as you said, Adelaide, we should have just bloody given it to him. Shout out to you, Fro, for suggesting that maybe we'd see it here. If you're going to shit yourself, you deserve all of the points possible that the FIA can give you and then have that result. And Rob, to do it in a Skoda, I mean, is there a better car in the Rally 2 world? Yes, but it wasn't running this weekend.
It was a sea of Skoda Fabias up and down the WRC2 field, but I feel like someone that should have got an honorary WRC2, I guess class honour, was Jordan Sertoritis, because let's face it, wow. I mean, yeah, I find it interesting. I don't knock the guy for having the opportunity to drive a Rally 1 car, because if you could do that, you would. And I remember reading that, so the WRC fan survey that came out, the focus group of indecisive people, I mean, of WRC fans came out, and it said that 86% of people want to see more amateur drivers take on the pros. Now, I don't know that Jordan Sertoritis was a good example of this, because, look, he had a go and he was solid. I think it actually proved it was more telling how reliable the Ford Puma was. I know Gregoire Munster had his issues, but aside from that, the Pumas were pretty much rock solid either side. So for Sertoritis to finish the rally was impressive, but it's almost like you watch the Rally 1 Puma going around and seeing Jordan Sertoritis drive it, and he just, part of me just goes, it's a wasted opportunity.
He did do it for the fun of it. I think he said that it's a chance for him to relax from his business. And Rob, who's to say that if you didn't have millions of dollars, you wouldn't do the same, to be honest with you. However, I think the only reason why he did finish was because he went so slow. Like,
that's also true.
He had so much time to see those rocks. He had so much time to react. That's truly the, I don't know. I think it was good that he finished, but I was also like, you're going so slow that you will just, you're just driving down the road on a Sunday, honestly. No offense.
Listen to my calls.
All right, let's move on from Kenya, because we have a little bit to talk about in terms of the Rally Commission, and then we will talk ahead to Croatia. Something a little bit boring, maybe for some of you, maybe exciting depending on how you feel. What is the future of WRC? Well, we've had points changed for this year. I think it's working quite well already. But Rob, we had this whole conversation. Is the FIA going to delete the hybrid and Rally 1 cars? It's going to be Rally 1 cars without the hybrid unit and less downforce. Yes, that would be great. And maybe the Rally 2 cars could have a little bit more power and a little bit more aero. Yes, that would be great too. And maybe more manufacturers in the world would want to join this brilliant sport rather than feeling like the investment is too significant. Or, Rob, should we just keep things exactly as they are?
I'm genuinely annoyed by all this. And I mean what I say about the most indecisive sport in the world, because honestly, 3 months ago we went with, yeah, Rally 1's a bit cooked. Cars are too expensive, don't need the hybrid, and just WRC 2 is the way to go, eh? And then all of a sudden the working group goes, okay, we've listened to that. Yeah, no, that's a fair point. We're also going to do a thing where WRC 2 cars can get a kit and they can be basically a world rally car. We have this issue where no one is willing to make a decisive decision about the direction it should be going in, because, yeah, I mean, if I was Hyundai, M Sport and Toyota and having spent all this money on these cars, yeah, I would be annoyed that we've only really used them for 2 years. But when you've got the long-term future of the sport to think about, and so many people have said this, we can't be waiting until the end of the next generation out of politeness in terms of what direction we want to go in. I mean, it's not a perfect system at the moment, but we've got to be doing something. And look, I love the Rally 1 machinery. You want it to stay in some kind of form as it is. It needs to be extreme. It can't be WRC2 on its own as it is. It's not as simple as that. So I don't buy that theory that I'll just make WRC2 the premier category, because that's not an option. So it's a very, very, very hard ask what's going on at the moment. And I don't envy the people that are having to make these decisions or consult all the people involved, because It's incredibly complicated. It is fraught with just money and self-interest, which you've always got to dance around a little bit. But so the whole thing isn't ratified. So we're talking about removing hybrid, but that's not official, is it?
No, and this is the whole thing. So there is an FIA WRC working group, and they recommended earlier, as you mentioned, Rob, that there'd be significant regulatory change for next season, with Rally 1 cars running without hybrid, less aero and less power, whilst Rally 2 cars get more power and more aero. And the teams have lobbied the sports governing body independently, and now, before this this meeting last week, they got together to actually say, no, we as a whole say this is not a good idea. We want to keep it exactly as it is. That meeting has happened, and the reports from that meeting, Adelaide, or the TLDR from that, no agreement. They're trying to reach common ground between the working group that's saying one thing and now, of course, the three manufacturers saying something completely different.
Is that not just a perfect embodiment of exactly the situation, that there is no agreement? I mean, I think if it was me, I would just make a decision and say, you know what, you'll have to figure it out, because it's getting to the point where if – everyone's going to be wasting their time on this instead of actually bringing up the sport. All it's going to do is tarnish the sport, because you're going to have this group of people that's not going to agree either way. So it's like, come on, are we all trying to bring it all up together? Let's figure it out rather than just no agreement or, oh, I don't like this, even though I said I wanted this, you know? So I don't know. I just wish I'd make a decision. But like Rob said, I do not envy them and I would not want to be making a decision, so I'm not.
That's right. It's very easy for us to make decisions from this podcast, and we will. Just do what the commission said. It'll be great for everyone. Yes, you've lost some money. Haven't we all? Yeah.
Listen to my calls.
All right, let's take a look ahead to Croatia. Rob, tarmac time. That's our new segment here on JWRC 99.7 FM, Tarmac Time with Rob James.
Oh, yeah, Tarmac Time, WRC, TTT. the T is a typo. It's only one of a small handful of tarmac rallies this season, but I feel like we've been stacked with It does feel like the season hasn't actually started, because every rally we have had so far has been very much of the extreme side of the sport, where we've got Monte Carlo, which is, you know, like icy tarmac. We've got Sweden, snow, Kenya with just huge Melbourne-esque potholes. There's a localized reference for you. Croatia's a tarmac rally, whereas, you know, WRC, everyone just associates it with gravel, whereas I think tarmac rallies are a bit off-piste in terms of the format. They're kind of a bit of a novelty. So we're at round four, and we haven't had sort of a – it doesn't really start till we get to Portugal at round five, and it doesn't really kick in until sort of the fourth to last round of the Acropolis rally, of course.
Your favourite one.
Yeah, that's right.
100% Malachi.
So, yeah, after this, we sort of get onto a good run of mostly gravel rallies. I don't know what the weather forecast is for this weekend. I just always associate it being raining in Croatia.
Well, see, I would have thought it would have been sunny, but that tells you how much I know about Croatia. It's probably going to be raining.
It's the Pirelli, they're the tyre people, not the other people that I immediately thought of from being here. I'm sure they'll have some brilliant compounds that will help. And the good news about Croatia is it's good and it's bad news, because it's a sad reason why this is the case, but it's a good news for Livery Watch of Hyundai Global Motorsport, which is another section here on Listen to My Calls, because, Rob, they are coming out with a tribute livery, so that's lovely for Craig. All of the Hyundais will be running in Irish flags.
Yeah, that's right. We've got four. We're on our fourth rally of the season, and Hyundai's on their third livery. but obviously, this one has a bit more of a sentimental touch to it as well. So I guess, you know, they get a leave pass on that one. And it's a beautiful livery as well. I thought it was, you know, apart from of the obvious tragedy around it, a livery on its own. Oh, green and orange and white. Who would have thought that's a great car combination for colours? Too bad it's not in the corporate palette for Hyundai. But if we go, aside from the obvious green livery, which I must say, I think it's still a nice touch, because you could be easily forgiven for just doing it then and there and then just forgetting about it and not running something of significance just because of the passage of time. But, yeah, if they don't run it next year, you could be forgiven for that. But I think it's a beautiful touch that they're doing it again for Rally Croatia. But they are still having a change in the corporate department because the board have met again. The committee, the working group of Photoshop and Illustrator and InDesign designers got together and HMSG, GMBH, and they decided that the race suits now need changing. So the Esa Pekka Lappi special Thierry Neuville special victory livery race suits, they've undergone a change for this round as well. I'd show you a picture, but this is a podcast, and so I just
just search it up. Go, right?
I think the Stinky Fish podcast put it. That's where I found it. So anyway, go over there and have a look see. But I just think, Hyundai, can they just? The most ADHD team going on in the WRC at the moment. They just can't make up their mind at the moment. Just focus on your gearboxes and your suspension systems, for crying out loud.
I was going to say they need to spend money on actually making the car go through a rally rather than the way it looks. But I guess it's two different pools, right? Otherwise, please. As much as I appreciate the sentiment, it's very important, very important. But was the suits necessary? Probably not.
68 entrants to this rally.
How many Group N cars, James? Any Group N cars to watch?
No, sadly.
Damn.
We haven't spoken about Group N with Safari Rally Kenya, only because my mate, his roll cage wasn't up to WRC spec, sadly for him. So he couldn't compete in WRC. He could compete in the local rally championship. But plenty of RC 2, 3, 4 cars and one Rally 5 car.
Oh, Rally 5.
Which is, Rob, I have picked this out especially for you. Can you guess?
I know Rally exactly 5? What car this is because, I've Googled how much the kit costs. It's a Renault Clio.
Yes, it is. It's a Renault Clio RS line, and I am very excited for Igor to punch that around this tarmac rally. I know you'll be looking right towards the very back of the entry list, but it is, Adelaide, like genuinely looking at this entry list. I mean, there's a couple of people to pick out here. Of course, we've got the return of Seb Ogier after his first round appearance in Monaco. He's back. And of course, Mikkelsen is back replacing Esa Pekka Lappi in that third car for Hyundai. He'll be hoping to actually get to grips a little better with it, Rob, considering he hasn't. This would be the second time, rather, he's driven this i20N.
Yeah, that's right. I think it's interesting that they're using him as a tarmac quote unquote specialist. Andreas, probably that's just to do with the scheduling, to be honest. But anyway, I thought that was interesting. But we've got the usual suspects over in Rally 1. But we've got ninth, the first of the WRC 2 cars in Johann Russell, or as I like to call him, French George Russell, in the Citroën. He's the top seed in WRC 2. Pepe Lopez is second in 10th, and then Sami Pajari. And so we've got a good mix of Yaris's versus Fabias. Even the Hyundai's had a birthday as well, so they are using their homologation tokens in the Rally 2 class for an engine upgrade. I'm pretty sure they're running the upgrade this weekend. But anyway, but they're due for it. If it's not this one, it's very soon. the one I feel sorry for the little old Ford Fiesta. It's you have to go to Eamon Boland, the first car in 18th for a Fiesta Rally 2 car. And then, yeah, it's a good mix of Yaris's versus Skoda's further down the order. But, of course, we do have the return of the mighty radio station that is...
Let's check it out.
I love that you still have to press download PDF to view the entry list on a international level event.
Oh,
it's superb because it makes me feel so good. I love it because the link is enhanced storage stack prod WRC media file storage. A lot of characters.
Amazon.AWS,
a bunch of other characters. Croatia, yes. WRC entry list 2024. That's superb.
Right. It's a very long entry list. It's, as you said, James, 68 cars for this rally. So it's a very healthy field of of vehicles. And yes, it's largely propped up by JWRC, but JWRC, wow, it's got a, in terms of things, I guess, the WRC and in conjunction with the FIA and all that, everyone that's doing the right thing, yeah, JWRC, at least in my sort of observation of it, it's in a really healthy spot where you've got that many people competing together. So that formula's working really well and good for M Sport because it keeps them afloat.
Well, let's take some predictions, shall we, ahead of this weekend, because, of course, we are the fountain of all knowledge, especially when it comes to JWRC, but specifically about our own opinions. Rob, let's start with you. Who do you think will come out on top this weekend?
For Rally 1, this is genuinely a tricky one because the form guide, so we've all been horrendously wrong for most of the season. So
classic.
Some obvious contenders. If I had to pick a handful, you'd go Thierry Neuville is a logical victor, but I don't say that confidently either, even though, yes, he's leading the championship and won the Monte Carlo rally. I just don't think he'll wipe the floor of everyone else compared to, say, Sebastian Ogier, for example. Oi Tanak, I just don't see him being on the podium whatsoever, to be perfectly honest. Mickelson, he could be, I think he'll have a rough trot this weekend. So it's really, for mine, I reckon it's a, so Thierry Neuville, Elfyn Evans, Sebastian Ogier kind of weekend. WRC 2, it is going to be, it's an obvious choice. It has to be Henk Vossen, 30th on the road in the I20N. It's got that Hyundai's got a new donk in it now. So clearly, it's going to be William Proden in the Ford Fiesta Rally. No, three. Went too far down the order.
Just very interesting to see how the other Toyotas go this coming weekend. But yes, obviously that was gravel though. So there, I do agree. Maybe it's just not made for tarmac. We don't know.
Oh, Rob, I could ask you what you think of the R5. Who do you think is going to win the R5? Don't say yourself. Yourself? R5. Yes, good.
Oh, Rally 5. Sorry. I still get confused. Oh, Rally 2 or R5 or whatever they want to be called this week. So in the Rally 5 battle, it's a one-horse race. Igor Tomalanovic in the Renault Clio RS.
Yep.
Just
giving you an opportunity to talk about your car. Let's be perfectly honest.
Look, it's very, what colour it's going to be? Is it yellow?
Better be.
Oh, they don't say.
Show some respect.
That'll be the big mystery right there. But the Rally 4 machinery also gets a good run too. So
it does.
The Peugeot 208 is clearly
an Opel Corsa.
The Peugeot 208 is like the Skoda Fabia Rally 2 car. It's clearly the one everyone in Rally 4 wants to buy.
Adelaide, let's get your predictions for Rally 1.
I was just having a look. It is, it's hard because I just want to say Adrian Formeau, despite the fact it's probably not going to be him. I don't know. I feel like Thierry, it's annoying because I feel like he's probably just going to win, but I don't want him to because I want some more competitive moments. So I am going to say Adrian Formeau may not win, but he'll definitely get another podium. And it'll be like, wow, who is this guy? What's he doing? But my winner is actually Taka. That's my pitch.
Oh, I like it. Yeah, I'm here for that. Yep. Do you want to delve into do you want to delve into Rally 2 or should we leave that for R5
actually,
expert?
Actually, I will delve into Rally 2 because I'm disappointed because I do not see Oliver Solberg on this list. But I do see Gus Greensmith. And if he can keep his bodily fluids.
Sometimes maybe shit.
Inside, I feel like this could be a good moment for him. Could go 2 for 2. Coming off what he had, probably the healthiest he's ever been in his entire life because he's probably had enough kombucha to sink a ship.
That's where the arms race is missing out. No, we don't need you, Lockheed Martin. We need more of Remedy Kombucha.
That's right.
To sink more ships.
I'm saying Gus Greensmith for WRC2, to be honest with you.
I think Sammy Payari is around, so I'm going to choose him because he's in a Toyota and I'm a big fan of that from a Rally 2 point of view. But I think it is, thinking back to Monte Carlo, I just think Seb Ogier is going to be so frustrated still about not being able to get up on Thierry that he is going to come back with a vengeance. He would have been playing the game, the course, the rally game. Rob, which one is it? Which one does everyone play?
It is Colin McRae Rally 4, but with the 2022 mods.
With the Robert Burns DLC. But he will be absolutely on it, I reckon, this weekend. And there's no denying that a significant multiple world champion like Seb Ogier can't drive on tarmac. But I'm here for Tacker, and I'm also here for Adrian Formeau. I think Adrian's going to get second overall. I don't think first, but I think he'll probably progress to get up to second, because who knows what can happen on a tarmac rally.
Listen to my calls. Stage is finished. Well done.
But we do know that that is it for this episode. This review, preview, whinge episode, daily podcast thing that we always love doing. Thank you to you for listening. If you want to get involved with the conversation, join us on Discord. We have a great little community there that is growing. You can also find us on TikTok and on Instagram and probably on Facebook. I haven't checked.
No,
or
no
go
Facebook.
To the website.
No
who uses it? No fans are allowed on Facebook.
I haven't given everyone the password.
Okay. Go to the website, listentomycalls.com. And until we review, hopefully in some kind of a speedy time frame after the Chinese Grove. Sorry, I mean the Croatia rally. I've been James.
I've been Shake and Bake.
This has been Listen to My Calls.
Shut up. Don't tell me how to drive.
Listen to My Calls, a Helmet Hair Media production.
Sometimes maybe shit.